Matthew chapter number 16, one verse of scripture, verse number 18, Jesus was speaking and he said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're going to talk about the church tonight. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place." Amen. They were with one accord in one place. Verse number 4. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. We are continuing to talk about the same Spirit. And I have had several different thoughts and titles and such go through my mind. But the bottom line is the church, we've got to be of the same mind. And we have talked already about this, that word of one accord means more than just in agreement with. You're here today because we are in agreement together to come together. But it's more than that. It is that we do agree to come together, but it's also that we all have an expectation. We all have an expectation. We're in agreement together to be here, but when we come here, we have an expectation that something's going to happen. Something's going to take place. The expectation needs to be deeper than I need God to bless me, or I'm looking for God to bless me, I'm looking for God to touch me. But rather an expectation of what we do here tonight has got an eternal significance. And that there is something going on in the eternal realm that I am getting ready to enter into. The Bible said that he hath called us up together, called us up to dwell with him, to dwell together with him in heavenly places. And so when we come to church, it's not just like your average business meeting. It's not your club meetings, organizational meetings. It's not coming together just to, like, you know, like the Lions Club or the Elks Lodge or veterans, anything like that. When we come together, there is an eternal importance. There is an eternal significance that is happening. Beyond our eyes, win or lose, it's happening. Amen. I said win or lose, it's happening. There are things that happen in the Spirit every time that we come to church that if we're not tuned in and tagged in, we miss it, and somebody is going to lose. It may be somebody within the church currently. It may be somebody on the outside of the church. It may be somebody in a foreign land somewhere. You know what I'm talking about. We have witnessed at different times the power of the Holy Ghost come down in such a powerful way and in years gone by. And the church just feels the deep unction to pray. Began to pray and have no idea why that they were praying so deeply. And may never know why, but it could be that there was a missionary or somebody in another city that was praying and saying, "I just need somebody to touch God for me," or in a volatile situation. I remember listening to Brother Gary Howard. He was telling a story of how that a missionary called him from Central America. I don't remember if it was, I don't think it was Mexico, but it was Central America, somewhere down in there, and a missionary called him. And the thing about it is he was already up praying. It was in the middle of the night, and he was up praying, and he didn't know exactly who he was praying for. His phone rang. He answered the phone. It was the missionary, and the missionary said, "Would you please pray for us?" He said, "Well, I'm up praying right now." He said, "You must be the one that I'm praying for." He said, "What is going on?" And he heard in the background some things happening, and they said that the people, I don't even know what you would call them, but the gangs and whatever. Anyway, there was a massive gunfight outside, and they were trapped inside. And he said that there was shooting all up and down the streets and such, and there was no place that they could go. They were just trapped inside. And so that's the working of the Spirit. That's being in tune with the Spirit to be able to tune in, to do what needs to be done for that certain time. So when we come to church, we agree together to come together. But we also must come with earnest expectation. And it's not the expectation that God's going to bless me and God's going to talk to me and God, but that I am going to be involved in something that is happening in the supernatural, in the Spirit, that I may never know about. My prayers are just going up, like Cornelius's. His prayers went up before the Lord, and they stacked up as alms. There's something happening in the Spirit that I am going to be a part of. This is the entity that we call the church, and this is what Jesus said: "Upon this rock I am going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." God has a kingdom, and I was going to take some time to talk about it, but elected not to do it. But God has a kingdom, and I spoke of it concerning on Sunday night. God has a kingdom, and it's already in work, and it's been in work for years. It's been in work for a couple of thousand years. Peter and Paul and the rest of them were a part of that church. And God's kingdom and God's church didn't die with them. It wasn't put in the grave with the early prophets or with the early ministers or the writers of the Bible. The church wasn't, but the church continued on, and others stepped up in it. There were those that was martyred. We know that Stephen was martyred. James, the brother of John, was martyred, killed by the sword. For Christ's sake. And the Bible said that when Herod saw that it pleased the people, that he got Peter, went and captured Peter and threw him in jail so that he could kill him as well. And so, but when they passed away, when James was killed, there were others that stepped up and filled the gap. And it wasn't just that they filled the gap or that they stepped up because the spot was empty, but the church began to exponentially grow. And as the church grew, they all come together and began to pray in the Holy Ghost, began to get in mind with the Spirit, and things began to happen. Miracles happened all over the place, to where Peter's walking down the road and just his shadow passing by would cause people to be healed. Others were witnessed to and testified and such. And so there was such a dramatic thing that happened, and we call it Pentecost. We call it revival. We call it harvest. We call it the will of God, the mind of God. And it is, but it's all according to the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is in operation. And we understand that there are principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of the darkness that oppose the kingdom of God. And sometimes we get in the way of that opposition, and we feel like we are personally opposed. And even though it may be so, but I want you to know that you're being opposed because that you are a part of the kingdom of God. Amen. You are a part of God's will working on the face of this earth. And we're all a part of this kingdom of God through the entity of what is called the church. Praise God. And so there are several things within the church that I'm going to take some time to talk about to kind of show some light in all of this. And I think that it is. I'm not just speaking. I'm not just talking. I'm very serious about this. And I have prayed and I have asked God to help me. And I feel like this is the direction of the Spirit. And so I'm not just playing with words, and I'm not just just going back and referencing a message, but I think that they all have their place. And so it is important that when you come to church that you're full of the Holy Ghost. You need to be full of the Spirit. You need to be as full of the Holy Ghost as you possibly can, and that is your responsibility, and that is my responsibility. I can't give you more Holy Ghost, and you can't give me more Holy Ghost. It is our responsibility to pray through and to get full of the Spirit of God ourselves. Amen. Because you know as well as I know that there are those that even before Brother Wirth's got here, and it's just in conjunction with the church, that the Word of God has offended many people. As a matter of fact, Jesus would look at his disciples and say, "Are you going to go too?" Because the Word was offensive. Many were offended by his words, and they walked away from him. And Peter would look at Jesus and he said, "To where would we go? You have the keys and the words to eternal life." And so there was a difference between the two in that one was able to receive the word and others were not. Amen. The word is the word. We could go into the parable of the sower and the seed. And you understand that the sower is the exact same. The seed is the exact same. The only thing that is different is the grounds. That's it. There was good ground. There was stony ground. There was ground by the wayside. And there was ground among the thorns. You are the gardener of your heart, and you are the one that's responsible and dictate if my heart is hard and stony, if my heart is full of thorns, if my heart is, amen, caught by the cares of the world and just by the wayside, or if my heart is good ground. Praise God. But it needs to be good ground so that the Word of God can come, take root and grow and prosper. But you and I are the ones that are responsible for making that happen. And therefore, we've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. I've seen people that have had the Holy Ghost for years and years, and you've seen them as well. And it just takes just a couple of services, and all of a sudden, they're bent out of shape, and they start missing church, and they don't come to church. And then all of a sudden, sometimes it's not just, it could be just one service, and all of a sudden, they're just gone. And they just got offended. They got offended by the word for whatever reason it may be. They got offended by the word. And we cannot afford to allow that to happen, especially in this day and age when we are so close to the coming of the Lord. Praise God. You cannot afford to lay out. You cannot afford, amen, to take for granted, amen, these things. You got to understand you have an enemy that is working against you. Praise God. And if he understands that more money will keep you out of the house of God, he's going to give you more money. Amen. If fame and fortune can keep you out of the house of God, you're going to be famous and fortunes, full of fortune. That's just the way that the devil operates. It's a cheap price for him to pay in order to have you lost forever. Praise God. And so you've got to be in tune because the word of God is going to come forth. And if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, it's not going to make sense to you. It's going to be confusion to you. It's going to be like trying to read your Bible with the light off. You're not going to get anything from it. Praise the Lord. You've got to have the Word of God, and you've got to have the Holy Ghost. You've got to be full of the oil in order to be able to receive it like you need to receive it. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. And so I want to talk about some concepts that are in the church, and we're just going to go for a little while. I don't know if I'll finish tonight. I may or may not. But no matter what, I've only got two concepts to talk about. So if we get done in 15 minutes, we're done. Just don't hold your breath on that one. Praise God. The first concept that I want to take you to, we're going to look at the beginning of it in John chapter number 1 and verse number 6 and verse number 7. And this is the beginning of the concept here, in that the Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. We know that this is in reference to the man we know as John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a very interesting individual, in that number one, John the Baptist was born into the priesthood. His dad was a priest, and so just by the lineage of birth, John was born into the priesthood. So John was a priest by birthright. Amen. Not only was he a priest, we would see that he was actually a Nazarite priest. Being born of the son of Zacharias, the high priest. Amen. The Bible says that he was a man sent from God. Amen. He was a priest, but he was more than just a priest. He was a Nazarite priest, which just simply means that a priest suggests a professional consecration, but the Nazarite suggests a personal consecration. He was different than all of the other priests. We only see three men in the Bible that ever took a lifelong vow or had a lifelong vow of a Nazarite upon them. And that would have been Samuel and Samson and John the Baptist. Amen. So we see that John the Baptist immediately is more than just a priest. But the Bible also lets us know and understand that John was more than a Nazarite priest. For in the book of Matthew, Jesus would say, but what went you out to see, a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Jesus was declaring that not only was John a priest, but that John was a prophet. Amen. And he put John in the upper echelon of being a prophet. He said he's much more than just your average, typical, normal prophet. But nevertheless, he's more than a priest. He is a prophet. When you would look at those job descriptions in the Old Testament, you would see that there were two different offices that were held by these individuals. You would see throughout time that there was the priesthood, and there was the family that was given unto the priesthood, the Levites, and everybody, every male that was born into the tribe of the Levite, they were a part of the priesthood. And then there was a hierarchy that went up, and there were those that was able to do, and then there was the high priest. Amen. The high priest that was there. But in reality, what the priest did is they took everybody's sacrifice and they offered it upon the altar, and then they would bring it before and represent the blood unto the mercy seat. And what they did was that the priest represented the people unto God. But there was another individual that would come about sometime around the times of Samuel, and you would see that others would follow suit there, and many would be named as not you know that there was different priests that was in the different families and such, but there was another individual, the prophet, and he was the prophet unto Israel, or the prophet unto Judah, and we would see that the prophet was there, and some people liked the prophet and some people didn't like the prophet, and some would say, I don't want to hear from him, for all he ever has to say is bad, and others would say, we need to get the voice of the prophet to find out what the mind of God is.
And so unlike the priest representing the people unto God, you had the prophet representing God unto the people, the mind of all of this. And so prophets would raise their voice in protest against the prevailing idolatry or the corruption and the blindness of their time. And they would be used to call nations back unto God. And they called for repentance, and they called sin by its name, which made a lot of people uncomfortable. And so the priest was somebody that they wanted to see, but not often was the prophet the one that they... Ahab did not want to see the prophet when Elijah, amen, would show up, or Elisha would show up. I didn't want to see him, amen. Obadiah didn't even really want to see him. The prophet said, go get Ahab and bring him here. And he said, look, you're going to get me killed is what you're going to do, because you're going to disappear about the time that I get him to come, and you're not going to be anywhere to be found. We see that when this man sent from God, John the Baptist, and that he was a priest and he was also a prophet. A priest by lineage, but a prophet by God. Amen. A priest that was able to represent people unto God, but a prophet that was able to represent the mind of God unto the people. Praise God. Amen. John was more than a priest and more than a prophet. And we understand that nobody can be sent from God who has not been first been with God. But the Apostle John, amen, states that John the Baptist came straight from the presence of God. There was a man sent from God. Amen. It was God revealing a new office that would be applied into the New Testament church. In the book of Revelations, he would call it the mystery of the seven stars. And he introduces this, the mysterious church of Matthew 16 is led by the mysterious stars in Revelations 1. And when the Lord would deal with the seven churches that were in Asia, we find that he did not bypass the star. And the star was those that was in and over the church and the assemblies. It was the pastor of that assembly. And when God had word to give to the assembly, amen, he didn't bypass the pastor, but he talked to the pastor about it. Amen. Paul would write and say that it was a gift that was given unto the church. Praise the Lord. The Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, wherefore he said when he ascended up on high and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. In verse number 11, the Bible said that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. But this is why that he did it, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, the church. Amen. That which he said, amen, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I'm going to give a gift to the church, and it's going to be for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, for the building up of the body of Christ. What was he saying? I want you better than when I got you. I want you bigger than when I found you. I want you more than what you came in. I'm going to send you ministry into your life to help build you up, to help strengthen you, to bring you along the way. Not just so that you could be a pawn or just a byword or just a happening of the past. But God said, I'm going to give you everything that you need so that you can make it. Why do I need to make it? Number one, there's hell. Number two, you have opposition against you. And when you joined up in the church, amen, you signed an allegiance with God. Amen. And you became the devil's enemy. And while you're in the church, I want you to know that the devil hates you and despises you. And he's going to do everything that he can to get you out of the church. And the first thing that he's got to do is shut up the voice of the ministry in your life. Praise God. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Amen, 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 amen. Jeremiah chapter number 3, the Lord said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And we know that the purpose was given throughout the scripture of the New Testament for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Salvation is tied to the ministry. Amen. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen. Romans 10 and 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. God said, you're not even going to please me. Amen. You can say, I want to please God. I want to please God. I want to please God. Amen. But God is saying, if you don't listen to the preacher, there's no way that you can please me, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. Praise God. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing to God in everything that I say, in everything that I do. I want you to know that it was God's plan to equip the concept of the church, the bride of Christ, with a leader who would represent him to the people and the people unto him. Let's love the Lord today. Praise God. Amen. So let me preach a little bit about this here today. We understand everything that I've preached is there's nothing new about it. We understand it. We've heard it. We believe it. We've been saved by it. It's because somebody preached to us that we are in the church. It's because somebody preached to us that we remain in the church. Amen. We need preachers, amen, that's able to get into our business. Praise God. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a preacher that just wants to get his messages out of a book and just preach. He's missing the mind of God. If all he's doing is thumbing through a book and saying, oh, this one looks good, I think that I'll preach this one. He needs to go sell cars. Because there is a body that is about, that the Lord has put him over. And the body is going to have issues. And the body is going to have sicknesses. And the body is going to have problems. But if the preacher isn't in tune with the Holy Ghost, then the preacher is going to miss it. It is imperative that the preacher have the mind of Christ, because there are things that I don't know anything about. There are things concerning you that I don't know anything about. And if God doesn't help us, then you're without help. But how many times has the preacher, not just me, but other preachers, stepped to the sacred desk and began to preach in the Holy Ghost, and you knew immediately, they're preaching to me, they're giving me a word. And you may have said, oh me, or you may have said amen, or you may have said thank you Jesus, but a word from God came down into your life, and it found you where you were, and it picked you up out of the miry clay, and it put strength in your bones. Amen. It put joy down in your heart. It edified you. It helped you, because that the preacher was in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We can stand and say, preacher, you need to get in tune with the Holy Ghost. But can I say from the viewpoint of a saint, God help my pastor to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. God, he's facing distractions today. God, he's facing issues today. And the devil doesn't want him to preach. And the devil doesn't want him to have the mind of Christ. But I need the mind of Christ. I need something to happen. We need something to happen. Oh God!
God, deal with the minister tonight and help him. Let him preach to me. Let him preach me out of hell. Let him preach me out of my pew. Let him preach me out of my contentment. Let him preach me out of my carnality. We got to have a move of God. Some people are afraid that the preacher is going to get all worked up, amen, and want everybody to jump and shout and holler. And I'm just here to get through another church service because I'm tired, I don't feel very good, and I just want to, amen, to make it through the service. But what if God wanted to heal you, but you're so nonchalant that you can't see it? Amen. Jesus said, that's why it only takes two or three. If I can get two or three on the same page, anything can happen. If I can get two or three on the agree on anything, then something is bound to happen. But it's just Wednesday night. Why do we got to get worked up on Wednesday night? Because you don't know what Thursday holds. I'm not trying to revisit a sore subject, but Sister Glenda was here on Wednesday, and Thursday morning she was gone. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Praise God. And sometimes, oh, I feel, I gotta pray about all of this. Sometimes we walk in with such a nonchalant attitude, amen, that says, God, you ought to be blessed by me just being here. Amen. Come on, let's get the road, let's get the show on the road and get it over with. Preacher, you got a few more minutes of time, and then you just need to ring off. We don't know what kind of eternal ramifications are resting upon that service. We don't know who else in the spirit somewhere is in need of a church, a body to get in tune with the Holy Ghost. We need a preacher to preach us out of carnality. We need a preacher to preach us out, amen, of rest and relaxation. We need a preacher that is able to stir up our souls. Praise God. Somebody needs to get excited. Somebody needs to get in tune with the Holy Ghost. Somebody needs, amen, to yoke up with the preacher and say, tonight is the night. It doesn't matter if it's Wednesday. Something has got to break tonight. Don't tell me you want revival, but yet you come to church and just want to sit there and wait for something to happen. Don't tell me how much you want to see people saved if you're not willing to fine-tune in the Holy Ghost and make sure that we as a body are ready for it. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes they liked the prophet, sometimes they didn't like the prophet. Sometimes you like me, sometimes you won't like me. But you understand, my job isn't to win friends and influence people. The only way I'm influencing people is to the gospel. Amen. But the way that we're going to influence people to the gospel is we got to stir ourselves up. We got to stir ourselves up. Amen. I've listened to people say, oh, I want revival, I want revival. And they come and they sit in the pew and they don't move. They sit there and stare at you and act like they have no clue what's going on whatsoever at all. That's why the preacher, amen, has got to be in tune and say, hey, there's something else going on in the spiritual world. There's something else that's happening. If we want revival, amen, revival is an operation up here. We've got to make it to that place and tag in so that we can see what God would have.
You may say, well, I don't know if I believe all of that. I think Brother Verity put it forth very, very plainly. Why are we saved? According for His purpose. Not for your purpose. Oh, it's a good thing that He saved me so that I don't have to go to hell. I want you to know that He wants to save you. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But you understand that He didn't come to save you just so you could sit there. He saved you so that you could be a witness. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness. He saved you for His purpose. What is His purpose? The church. The church, that's His purpose. Praise God. And that's, but you know what? We're not on the same page as He is. We're not often, too often, we're not on the same page. We just try to get on the same page on Wednesday nights and Sunday. We're not on the same page Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And too often we're missing it. God's got a hungry waiter or waitress that's waiting on you. But you're in la-la land. I'm not saying that you need to walk around talking in tongues everywhere you go, because that's going to be confusion. Because they don't understand what you're doing, and they're going to look at you and say, you know what, you're crazy. But they do need somebody that is sensitive enough to recognize and understand. You're surrounded by how many people every day at work? Every one of them are going to hell unless they're in church somewhere. And God's saying, I got this kingdom. And what I need is I need a piece that I can plug in right here. And I've got potential and perspective right here, but they're not tuned in. His perspective is going on. He saved us according to His purpose. For His purpose. That's what it's all about. It's for His purpose. It's all there. But we're so caught up in our world. I'm preaching to myself. You don't know how many times I have come in here to this sanctuary, and I've began to pray, and I told God, God, please forgive me. I have been so busy working for You that I forgot about You. Working on a church 14, 16 hours a day, going and finding a bed, plopping down in the bed, getting up the next morning, grabbing a cup of coffee, and heading to the church and working 14, 16 hours again. You know what that's called? It's called life. I have life, you have life. You have cares, you have all these things that happen in your life. And it is life, but it can also be distractions that the devil's keeping you so busy and so worked up. You're going so fast and so swift that you miss the opportunity. It's not just about what we do on Wednesday nights and Sundays and Sunday nights. Those things are important. But it's far beyond all of that. How many people have came and went in your life? God puts us here. Do we do something about it or do we not? Okay, I'll just put you over here. The purpose of God is that people can be saved. And He saves us so that He can save another. Amen. Praise God. And it takes preaching like this to wake us up. We have to understand that there is this large organism, because it's alive. It's the kingdom of God that is in operation. And we have the honor to be a part of it. And the benefits are out of this world. Praise God. And that's what it's all about. God said, I'm going to put ministry as a gift to the church for salvation issues and for the edifying of the church. Praise God. And talk about the second part of all of this. Second part of all of this is kind of like we've kind of already talked about a little bit. And that is the prayer. That is you praying, saying, God, help my pastor. God, whoever's preaching tonight, help them tonight. We've got to know the mind of God about it all. Got to know the mind of God. Distractions. You know, we had a mattress store when we first got here, started up a mattress store. We had it for a couple of years and seen a lot of good things, and there's still good things that's coming out of that, and I feel like there'll be good things that'll come out of that for years to come with the acquaintances, connections, and stuff that we made and everything. And, you know, we did all of our mattresses and stuff by appointment. You want to guess when we had more appointments than any other day? Wednesdays and Sundays. They all wanted to come on Sundays, and so I'm trying to study, and the phone's ringing, and Marcus is answering it, or I'm answering it, and like, can I come look at a mattress? And Marcus is running over there, and the phone rings and stuff, and he's, you know, I want to come look at a mattress at 6:30 tonight, or how about 7 o'clock tonight? No, can't do that. It's not available and stuff. Wednesday, you know, he's trying to study and get ready for church and whatnot, and the phone's ringing. I want to come look at a mattress today. I want to look at a mattress today. I want to come look at a mattress on Wednesday. I can't do it today, but what about Wednesday? All the time. All the time. And that was part of the reason we just closed it down. Can't do it. Can't do it. And such is the case in your life as well. Tends to be that if it can go wrong, it's going to go wrong on Wednesday. If it's going to be busy, it's going to be busy Wednesday. Overloaded, it's going to be overloaded on Wednesday. And I don't know why it is, but on Sunday, we just all tired. We can get up and go to work at 7 in the morning for, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But come Sunday, you know, people not getting out of bed until a few minutes before church and trying to get ready and get to church and stuff. And it's just distractions, distractions. Because the devil doesn't want us to be in tune. He knows that if we ever get in tune, that's when we win. He wins when we don't get in tune because we miss something. We miss something. That's why prayer is so important. Let me just talk a little bit about pre-service prayer. It's important. Pre-service prayer is very important. That's where we are all drawing our minds together. We're trying to come out of the fog of the day or the fog of the week and the cares of all of this. We got to come out of all that. And you're going to have to be disciplined to make yourself do it. Because when you come in, and whether you're walking or sitting or kneeling, you're going to feel that little tap on your shoulder, and it's not my grandson's. I mean, it may be, but hey, you need to think about tomorrow. You need to think about what happened today. And that's the enemy trying to distract you, trying to get your mind off and stuff. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. Give me verse number 5. Now, this was Herod. Verses 1, 2, and 3, you're going to see that Herod killed James, the brother of John, killed him by the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the people, he sent soldiers out to go get Peter. And the Bible said Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. They threw him in prison. But the Bible says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for Peter. There was a need. There was a dire need. And so the Bible says that prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God. They were moved by an event. They were moved by a happening. Something was taking place and they were moved by. Peter was in prison. Verse number 6. When Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, I could preach a lot about this, but I'm just going to touch a little bit about this. Number one, the preacher was in prison. All right? The church ought to not be content about that. And so they began to pray. I don't plan on going to prison, okay? And if I'm there and I need to be there, don't bail me out. But if I don't need to be there, you can start a GoFundMe fund. All right? But we know that preacher was there on false charges, or he wasn't supposed to be there, and it bothered the church. And the church knew that they couldn't personally, physically do anything about it, and so they did what they could spiritually, and they began to pray. And they prayed, the Bible says, without ceasing. It bothered them. The event bothered them. And they prayed without ceasing. Not for 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or 10 minutes. They prayed without ceasing. I wonder how many events in this day and age really bother us that bad. What about your lost loved ones? You got parents that are lost? You got children that are lost? You got friends and family that are lost? There are issues in life that bother you that bad? Or are they just a mere hiccup in the road? Are they a mere daily tag in? Oh yeah, God, and by the way, touch this one. This event bothered them so bad, bothered the church so bad, that they prayed without ceasing. All right? And the Bible says that the same night, that would have been Peter's last night, the very next morning, Herod was calling Peter up to be killed. That very night, while guarded by soldiers, bound with chains, and the doors of the prison guarded as well, angels walk into the situation. You understand what I'm saying? There's something in the spiritual world that's taking place. God's kingdom is working. And God's needing somebody to step up. And the church rose to the occasion. And though the church couldn't do anything physically, when they got in one accord, expecting to be used of the Holy Ghost, expecting something to happen that necessarily isn't going to benefit my pocketbook or benefit my issue or anything else, but it's going to benefit, this is what it's all about. They prayed. And at that point in time, unbeknownst to them,
God dispatched a couple of angels and said, go down there and loose him. Chains fell off. Doors opened up. And they led Peter right out the door. Now, the story doesn't stop there. Go to verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. They do not know that the prayer has been answered. They're in the spirit. They're praying. Now, I want you to recognize this. They're in there praying. Verse 13. Peter knocked on the door of the gate. And a little girl came to hearken or to answer, named Rhoda. 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Next verse. And they said unto her, you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, no. They said, it's just his angel. They kept praying. Next verse. But Peter continued knocking. Now that's where I want to talk. I may be off far off in left field, but somebody needs to hear this tonight. Because Peter's consistent knocking did not draw any adults. You know what that means? That means they were praying. They were having an apostolic prayer meeting. Sometimes our pre-service prayer is so quiet that if anybody came up and went, everybody would look. Somebody go find out what's going on. This didn't happen at this prayer meeting. They were praying. And Peter comes up and knocks, and it's just some little girl. Some little girl heard it. Some little child heard it. Ran out there to the gates. Oh, it's Peter. Ran back in there and bothered somebody and said, hey, Peter's here. No, Peter's not here. You're crazy. No, I'm telling you, Peter's here. Everybody is still praying. The Bible says that Peter continued knocking and nobody came. And this girl is in here saying, I'm telling you, Peter is outside. No, Peter isn't outside. It's just his angel. And they kept praying, and Peter just kept on knocking. They were so intense in prayer. They were so involved in prayer that they did not hear the knocking until finally a little girl got their attention and said, I'm telling you, he's outside. And finally, after enough commotion and somebody took a breath or whatever, they heard knock, 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 knock. Well, somebody is out there. And they went and they found him. Amen. That's the story. It's quiet. The Bible says, not me, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effective prayer of a righteous man has great power. Praise God. There's something that you say, oh, you know, you're taking that verse out of context. No, I'm not. Let's put it in context with the rest of them. Amen. The Bible says that this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. The Bible says, but ye, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, pray. praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is a sound of prayer. There is a sound that goes forth with prayer. I'm not saying that you got to be shouting and you got to be screaming. Amen. But prayer is more than just sitting there and rocking and just meditating on God. But when you get connected in the Spirit, I see it and I think to myself, oh God, thank you for so and so is connected in the Spirit. There's groanings, there's talking in tongues that begin to happen, there's sounds that begin to happen. Amen. There's travail that begins to happen because somebody is getting in the Holy Ghost. What are we doing? I'm getting in tune with the heavenlies. I'm getting in tune with what God wants. I'm not just here, but I am making myself available to the Spirit for whatever God has for us. Let's stand here tonight. I know that you can do it. I've watched many of you. I've heard many of you that when you get in the Holy Ghost, something changes in the Spirit. I've watched you. I've listened to you. That when you get in the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden something burdens down. That groaning begins to happen. People begin to talk in tongues. People begin to clap. There's noise. There's volume that goes with it. It begins to grow. It becomes powerful. Why? We're entering into a different realm. Amen. A different spirit. Amen. People begin to weep and begin to cry. Amen. Because they're affected by the presence of God, the Spirit of God. Amen. We are in that place of one accord. We're not just gathering together. We're not just going through the motions. We're not just here to listen or to go through the time. But something has happened. And I came with expectancy. I came not because I'm looking for something. I know that God is going to bless. Amen. And I want to be right there. But there's also something that's happening beyond what I can see, beyond what I can feel, beyond what I know. Who knows that tonight, right now, while we're having church, your lost loved one may be sitting on a bed contemplating to themselves, I used to be in church tonight, right about now, on a Wednesday night, but I've left and I'm so far away from God. Maybe your Bible study, amen, is sitting there thinking to themselves, maybe I should have went to church tonight with so and so, amen, but I just didn't do it, amen. What has it taken? A little bit more in the Spirit, a little bit heavier in the Spirit, a little bit more connected in the Spirit. But it's because people are concerned and people are saying, it's not just about me, but there's something that I want to be involved in. There's something that I'm going to get in tune with. There's something that I'm going to make myself available for in the Spirit. Oh, yes. Come on, would somebody just tag in right now? It's here. God's here tonight. Come on. Amen. I feel it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. It's not time to look around. Amen. And wonder what's going on. But right now, Right now, God's got a door of opportunity open. Amen. He's saying, I want to invite you into that place. I want to invite you up into that arena. I want you to feel what's going on in the spiritual world. I want you to hear what's going on in the spiritual world. I want you to experience what's going on in the spiritual world. Amen. And the door is open. And God is enticing. And God is inviting. Are you going to sit there and look around? Amen. And daydream? Are you going to step up and say, all right, God, what is it that you need of me? Amen. I'll tell you what God wants. Tag in. Tune in the spirit and pray. There's no telling what could happen here tonight. There may be something that is broken. Amen. That God may flood this place with visitors, people in need of the Holy Ghost, because that the church got in one place and one accord, and suddenly the Holy Ghost was poured out, and not just 120, but 3,000 came and received the Holy Ghost on the outside of the building that day, because that 120 got in one place, one accord. If you've got Bible studies going on, you ought to be tuned in right now. Amen. If you're teaching Bible studies, amen, you ought to care enough that you tune in right now. Don't be satisfied with just showing them the Word of God. Amen. You need to tune in right now that you can do battle in the Spirit for what's going on in their life. God is saying, I'm glad you made the physical connection, but there's a spiritual connection that's got to be made. Don't just try to impress them with Bible knowledge, but get in tune with the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost begin to work. Amen. In areas that you cannot work. You can't go into their bedroom. You can't go into their room at night while they're asleep. But the Holy Ghost can, because you're in tune and praying. Amen. You're getting involved. And the Holy Ghost sends an angel down by them, visiting them in a dream, waking them up in the middle of the night and showing them that they're lost. Amen. And they begin to get stirred. It's things that you can't do. Places that you can't go. But get in tune to the Spirit. Come on, you need to find a place and pray and say, God, oh God, let me see them burning in hell. I don't want to physically see it, God, but I want to be so bothered by it. I want to see, I want to hear it, God, that I cannot just let it go by. I cannot just bypass it by the day. But, oh, God, bother me for their soul. Bother me for their soul. Bother me for their soul, oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, it's happening. It's happening tonight. It's happening tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are you going to be like a little child? Amen. That's distracted by every little thing. Amen. You can hear all of the outside noise. Amen. Are you going to be like one of those that's involved in prayer, praying down angels, praying gates open? Amen. Praying soldiers to salvation. Amen. Praying deliverance. Praying chains off. I can't physically take the chains off, but God can. I can't physically open the doors of addiction, but God can. I can't physically get them out of their prison, but God can. I can't physically get to where they are, but God can. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in this closet of prayer. Amen. I want to be in one accord with God. I want to be in one accord with the church. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. We're pressing, we're pressing. Hallelujah. Come on, we got to have a preacher, amen, that'll sound the alarm. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, we're just going to sit there. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, we're not going to be moved. But if the trumpet stirs us up, amen, like we need to be, we're going to respond. We're going to respond. Amen. It doesn't take the trumpet all the time stirring people up. We can stir up ourselves. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. We can get in tune with God. Amen. But there are times that we got to have, amen, a little bit of stirring. But oh God, I want it to be that it ought not to be with my soul. But oh, let me find the fervency. Let me find the frequency of the Spirit. And let me get in the same spirit with you. The same mindset as you. I'm coming with expectation. Believing that you're going to do something great. And I'm going to be a part of it.